Coming to you live from the second bedroom of Shane's apartment. This is the Shane and Scuba Steve podcast.
Welcome back to the Shane and Scuba Steve show.
Yes.
It's Wednesday.
It is, as of recording, but for you out there, there might be a new day when you're listening to this. It could be so far in the future that they've added another day.
Ooh, do you think they'd ever add another day? Do you think we'd ever reach the point where we like avoid the Caesarian calendar completely? Let's just start off on a very deep note.
No. At least not on this planet. I mean, like, if we go somewhere else and terraform, a whole other story. But, yeah, no, they're not going to add another day. No.
Actually, that's a great point. So, in the movie The Martian, they have sols, right? Yeah. That's the day. Mm-hmm. It's SOL. It's like, or it's a revolution of the sun. Mm-hmm. I don't think they called them days.
No.
But do you think if we terraform another planet, someone will be like, fuck, we got to bring Monday and Tuesday like with us? Like, we can't escape this without Monday and Tuesday?
Kind of. I mean, to a degree. I mean, like, I don't know. But
it's a thing to think about, right?
Like, no, it is a thing to think about. You also got to think of, like, you know, how long is a day there? Maybe a day is like 70 hours. So, yeah, maybe you just at that point you forget. You don't go into even a week. You're just like, all right, well, I'll see you.
When the sun later comes up.
You can't even say tomorrow because that'd be 4 days. So yeah, no, it's all subjective. Time's a flat circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is a flat circle.
Yep.
Well, Shane, do you have a beverage this week?
I'm actually just having a water. I did just get home from work and I was like, you know what? I don't need to have any more alcohol. When I say it out loud like that, it makes it sound horrible. My job at like, not horrible, not fun, but horrible. Like, oh my God, is this how he lives his life? But I'm just having a water right now. Are you having anything?
I'm also having a water.
Look at us, these hydro bros.
Trying to stay hydrated. Hydro homies over here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very hydrated. Very, very hydrated. I got a sticker down in Nashville of the Ted Lasso Believe sign.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on my water bottle now because I've become a sticker water bottle person solely because I got too many stickers.
Of course.
Around the holidays and needed something to do with them. But I stare at that when I'm feeling down and it helps.
That's the whole purpose. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
It is that, and I have an iguana with a yeehaw hat. So
okay. All right.
That helps too. Anyway, you're in for a jam-packed show today, folks. We have a trailer, we have a TV show to talk about, and assorted other sundry items that have existed in the entertainment space in the last week.
That's true.
Coming back from last week.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's going to happen.
Never.
Let's dive right into this trailer. Shane, you watched the trailer of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Yes. Indiana Jones 5 for the hardcore fans who know.
The fifth.
Yeah, exactly. Directed by James Mangold, everyone's favorite director from Walk the Line, Logan, to every dad's favorite movie, Ford v. Ferrari.
It's a great movie. I will not stand for any slander of that.
Oh, no, no. I'm not talking down about the movie. I'm stating a fact that every dad's favorite movie is Ford v. Ferrari.
Okay.
Or at least if you ask any dad today, what's your favorite movie of the last 10 years? They'll definitely say Ford v. Ferrari.
They're not going to say Top Gun or Top Gun Maverick, pardon me.
You know what? That does change it a little bit, but I think Ford v. Ferrari is going to beat out Top Gun Maverick in the dad department because one, true story. It's a true story. Two, Christian Bale and Matt Damon. That's a combo of great actors. Not that there's other
it's a
great
dad actors. Combo. You just hit him with a dad sandwich.
Yeah. Oh man, any dad wants to be sandwiched between Christian Bale and Matt Damon. That's Batman and Jason Bourne. And also, I think it's a more, I don't even want to say it's a subdued story, but I think once again, because it's a true story, Ford v. Ferrari has more heart to it that you can connect to, as opposed to Top Gun Maverick, which does have a lot of heart, way more than the first.
Yep.
But, you know, there's still some distance because you're like, these are fake characters. And also, the first Top Gun Maverick, in comparison to the sequel, is garbage. So there's definitely a generation of guys who saw the first one and were like, it was fun. Like, it's pretty good. Who wouldn't have as much interest to see Top Gun Maverick? That's your breakdown of middle-aged men's psychology.
Okay, I agree with that. I understand where you're coming from with that. I do have to ask you one question related to that, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you pointed out that Christian Bale and Matt Damon are Batman and
Jason Bourne,
respectively. Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
Which would you rather have hunting you? at the end of the day, like either you're the Joker or you're Treadstone, who would you rather have hunting you and why?
Probably Batman, because he's not going to kill me, at least. Jason Bourne, once he's done with me, he has no... He might not kill me. He might be like, oh, no, there's no point to. But, no, Jason Bourne, there's at least the risk that he'll kill me. Batman, yeah, broken arm, maybe a sternum. But,
so you think, and you think this new Batman... Oh, no, because I guess we're still going with Christian Bale's Batman. Mm-hmm. I feel like Christian Bale's Batman's going to fuck you up, and he's not going to apologize. I think he kills you.
No, he's not gonna. No, he's not gonna kill me. No, that's not Christian Bale Batman. No, that's his whole arc in stories that he does not kill Batman. Batman, he might kill me, but it'll be more like secondhand. Like he'll leave me in a car that's has gas leaking out of it, and there's a fire nearby. Whereas, yeah, no.
Okay. No, so you think he'd spare you?
Ben Affleck Batman or Christian Bale Batman?
Ben Affleck Batman.
Maybe. But he's, you know, he toes that line. Or at least, you know, hey, Batman v Superman, Ben Affleck Batman, yeah, he's going to leave me for dead. Post Batman v Superman, Batman, he's going to save me because he's got the hope reinstilled because of Superman and his sacrifice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Indiana Jones in the Dial of Destiny, this is going to be the swan song of Indiana Jones, much even though we already had the swan song with
Crystal Skull.
Thank you, Crystal Skull. I was going to say Temple of the Crystal Skull, but I was like, that's not. That's
I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
It's not a temple, is it? It's not a temple of doom.
It's Temple of Doom, and it is Crystal Skull, but there is a Temple of the Crystal Skull within the movie. So that's why I didn't go there. But this is going to be the fifth, but yeah, this is the swan song. This is now Harrison Ford. What is he now? He's 70 something doing this movie or 69?
He's old.
That is true.
He's 80. He's 80. Yellowstone, yeah. And I gotta be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, Kevin Costner and Harrison Ford are starting to look similar.
Yep.
In these movie shoots, and like Kevin Costner's getting up there too.
Oh yeah, I mean Kevin Costner is I think he's 105. Oh so, what? Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks so good.
He's fucking. I just don't understand how you're doing action movies at 80.
Well, okay. First of all,
he's not doing stunts.
Yeah, he's not doing stunts. Whatever action he actually is doing is the whip, very easy. He can move his arm, or jogging, which I think, yeah, he might be 80, but I still think, yeah, he can jog. The rest is going to be, they're going to be doing CGI face doubling. There's going to be some de-aging as well, because we even see in this trailer like a little flashback to when he's younger. But also, Indiana Jones, his action isn't that... His fights are maybe just fisticuffs. They're not like karate Jason Bourne. And the rest is him being behind cover shooting. So yeah. I think 80-year-old Harrison Ford can do that. But also, this story is clearly... And especially because they have James Mangold directing... and he has got a writing credit on it. Like, this isn't going to be Indiana Jones' last big fight. This is him, like, trying to probably set something right or that one last hurrah. But we have now been shown since Logan that, like, once again, James Mangold knows how to have an elderly character do action that still fits the character but makes sense. That's not like, oh, look at this 80-year-old man fighting 40 dudes.
Well, I think it's very telling. It was going to be my rating of this trailer was, you know, at the end of the trailer, there's a scene he cracks the whip and everybody draws down on him. He's like, oh, it's a different time.
No, absolutely. It's 1969.
The space race is occurring.
Mm-hmm. Nazis still look. Oh, that was the one. Once I saw a Nazi, I was like, good. This will be a good Indiana Jones movie. You know, it's a good one when there's Nazis. The one time you can say that in life, or the one time you should only say that in life. but we have a jam-packed cast in this.
We do.
Who's in this movie?
Harrison Ford's in this movie.
Boom.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge is in this movie.
Boom.
Mads Mikkelsen's in this movie. He's a former Nazi during World War II. Has been hired by NASA.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Banderas is in this movhie.
Mm, Puss in Boots.
John Rhys Davies.
Mm-hmm.
John Rhys Davies.
Reese. Yeah.
Thomas Cruschman.
Or it's aggressive. Rhys. You gotta
Rhys.
Yeah.
Rhys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boyd Holbrook.
You know
Toby
it.
Toby Jones. Oliver Richters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big cast. It's a great cast.
Yeah.
A lot of people in this movie.
Absolutely.
Notably not in this movie so far is Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by that.
Who is in Crystal Skull.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he was cued by the end of that movie to be the new Indiana Jones, or at least set up like, oh, if we want to come back this, we can with him. But that is not going to happen because I think during press for the fourth Indiana Jones, he like talked bad about the movie. So that just pretty much puts Steven Spielberg to be like, yeah, okay, so I'm not going to bring you back. Because you
get to stay away now.
Yeah. And also, Shia LaBeouf has definitely enough going on in his own life. But I think he was like, you know what? I have no real interest in coming back to this project. Because this, especially in this narrative, he's not going to... This is supposed to be that big now closing swan song for Harrison Ford and the character. If they want to continue on with Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character... Because we learned in this that she's Indiana Jones's goddaughter. So, hey, I love her. I'd watch another movie with her. If they want to like now cue this for her to take the reins, that's great. If this is the last world building within the Indiana Jones universe, I can live with that. The movie looks great. It looks beautiful.
I'm excited for a classic adventure movie.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah.
Very excited. Actually, and just to correct it, the fourth Indiana Jones is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Ah, okay. So we knew there was a territory of some kind related to the wonderful.
Yes. What's your favorite excited.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What's your favorite Indiana Jones movie?
So for a long time, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was my favorite Indiana Jones movie. Fun fact for listeners at home, when I was in about 10th grade, I was caught by my ISP for illegally downloading that movie.
ISP?
My internet service provider.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I sent an email to my family that said, stop downloading this movie.
And did they follow it up with, would you download a car?
They didn't, but I, in my brain, immediately jumped to that. I'll never forget my high schooler brain, my mom texting me being like, you got an email from Con? Like, I think it was an email or a letter, like some sort of like, of that time period too, where it was like, people are downloading things. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm getting caught for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But that was my favorite for a long time. I remember watching like Temple of Doom with like my grandparents, probably on VHS.
Yep.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. When I was in Disney as a kid, was I in maybe fifth grade? They had an Indian at like Hollywood Studios, they had Indiana Jones like set.
Yeah,
thing?
And they
it's
do
not
like
a ride, but it's
they do like the they do like the opening chase or the main chase from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The boulder.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah, and they probably I saw one where they do like the Egypt like running through the city, like all the baskets and running through there. I saw one like that, and then the truck explodes, and you're all like Marion, and then they immediately go, "She's fine, everybody. She's over here," and it's like, "Thanks, come back later." And it's like, oh,
yep,
okay.
I saw that thing like four times.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm a Joneser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about yourself?
That's what the subscribers on the Reddit page are called. They're Jonesers.
We're Joneses. We're Jonesing for more Jones.
Yeah. Last Crusade. I think that's always my go-to. I can put that one on all the time. A fun fact about Temple of Doom. That is the reason we have PG-13 ratings.
Okay.
Because the movie was rated PG. And then a lot of parents and kids were like, this is very someone's heart gets ripped out of his chest. And Indy's gonna kill a child, and there's crocodiles eating people, and they eat monkey brains. And then even Steven Spielberg was like, "Yeah, I probably, we should have, So that's why PG-13 movies exist.
Okay,
because of Temple of Doom.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, look at that. You learn something new every day.
Gotta learn more. Gotta learn more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about this movie.
Yeah,
I really am. So candidly to the audience, this trailer came out in December. And we didn't get a chance to cover it. So Shane and I were talking tonight. We thought, let's talk about it.
They don't know that.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe they deserve it. We deserve some clarity and some transparency in our production.
Well, I'll send you an email about this. I'll CC you as well.
Thank you. BCC me as well. Just want to make sure I get it.
You're going to get all the C's. You're going to get all the C's. Don't worry.
Excellent. TCC me actually, which is like a total carbon copy. Means I get that email every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no. And I'll send it to you. I'll print it out and send it to you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Telegram is great too if you can get to a Western Union in the 1800s.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Cool. Yeah. The way my telephone works though, it has to be with like the Morse code type thing. It has a little
So it's not a telephone anymore. Then I'm just sending you.
The phone works. It's the tabby taps. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, okay,
I'm
going
to convey the rest of my thoughts for the podcast. Just...
Yeah, no, I got it. No, I got it.
Good. Mm-hmm. So we're both godparents.
Yeah, that's true. Congratulations.
Congratulations to you as well. How did you feel when he said when he announced that that's my goddaughter? Were you like, oh, good godfather vibes?
When like at the service when it happened?
No, at the sit down in the Indiana Jones trailer, he goes, "Who's that?" And he goes, "That's my godfather, goddaughter." did you get the godfather tingle when he said that?
Well, I have that tingle all the time. It's called chlamydia. But I I honestly didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah, get that.
Yeah, I honestly don't think about it until like someone mentions my godson, and I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh,
not that I don't appreciate it.
It's more just I like the title is for me, not for like anything else. It's just like I'm a god. Like I just like I sympathize.
And do you like your own reflection in the mirror? And you're very
as
humble.
As long as he's not talking back to me, it's fine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to rate this trailer?
I'm going to give this lovely trailer for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which I don't really like that name.
Well, what do you think the Dial of Destiny is? That's something we haven't even discussed. So what could it be? What MacGuffin will this be?
I'm going to say it's something to do with time, because that's a good narrative plot point of, the world is moving to the future because it's 1969. We're going to the moon. But now Indy's at the end of his journey and there's people from his past because we're going to see things from the past. So I think it's going to be a time thing. And also they haven't done anything with time. The last one was aliens. So like it's a decent enough pivot. Like it's not like as if they went from the Holy Grail then to time travel. Like, okay, that's too much. But I think it's going to be probably like a weird, like time little device. But maybe, if anything, this one will be not true at all. Where, like, all the other ones, it is the Holy Grail. It is the Ark of the Covenant. These are aliens. This one, I think, might just be like, nope, it's at the end. It's like, it was just the dial all along. Yeah, something like that. That's what I'm going to... I'll put $9,000 on that. I'll bet it in Vegas.
$9,000.
$9,000. Can I borrow $8,999?
I have 1% of that for you.
So you have $8.90. I'll take that.
Yeah, 99 cents. The 9 cents is where
I was gonna let you keep the 9 cents.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing
that.
Too much for me already. Oh, but then to rate this trailer, I'm gonna give it a solid 8.45 out of 1,000. Boyd Holbrook and a lot of people rocking mustaches in this movie, riding a motorcycle through a parade.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna give it.
All right.
What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it. I'm coming in high. I'm coming in hot. And that's fine with me. But I'm coming in a 9, 10 out of 1,000. 9, 10 out of 1,000 what's? I'm going to stick with the cracking of the whip at the end of the trailer. That was where I was going with this in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming in at 9, 10. I have high hopes for this movie, which means that they will be dashed immediately.
Hey, you don't know that. I trust James Mangold. I trust Disney with this. I don't think Indiana Jones, not Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford, I don't think would have come back for this. Unless he really trusted the script, especially at this age. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. End this podcast. You're so wrong. I'm done with this podcast.
I don't think I will.
Okay.
But I hear you.
And you're listening. Thank you. I appreciate it.
But are you listening?
Of course. Always.
So several months ago now, we had a big announcement in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Where noted Marvel success story James Gunn
mm-hmm.
and Peter Safran would take over as the leaders of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, they really unveiled their plans.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about them.
Yeah. Do you want me to just list them and then we go through after, or do you want to try and go one by one? Because I got it right in front of me.
Go for it.
Boom. Okay. So we still got to finish off what DC has been working on. Fury of the Gods, which is going to be coming out in like a week or two. The Flash, which is supposedly getting reviews that it's like the greatest comic book movie ever known. But WB does that every time they're working on a movie. And they somehow it leaks that someone saw it and it's the greatest movie ever known.
I just don't believe it.
I have no... I am not... See, it's actually like hypocritical. like I have no hopes for this movie. I have no high hopes. But I actually do think it'll be good. Like, because at this point, they are not putting out, they're not going to put out a piece of garbage. They're not going to pull another like Justice League where they're just like, we got to put this out, we got to get it, and like, we're not that happy with it, but like, let's give it. They put too much time, too many reshoots, so much, like, they are not going to put out any piece of garbage. Like, this is going to at least be solid. It might not live up to the greatest comic book movie ever known, but it's...
Do you really think it's going to be solid?
I think so. I think it's going to be so solid that I'm then going to be kind of like, ah, oh, shit, like, that's... We're never going to see this anymore. Yeah, but... Yeah, they put with their they're still like working on the movie technically, like they're still doing stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, I think it'll be. I have faith in the Flash movie. Then that's supposed to be a universe reset. That's supposed to set everything at ease, which I really don't think it will. But then we'll have Blue Beetle and then Aquaman, the Lost Kingdom, finishing out the year. But James Gunn and Peter Safran's plan, they're calling it Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters. Do you prefer the chapters over using the word phase? Do you think it'd be too cliche if they said phases?
I don't know if they're, I don't know if it matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think phases is more of like an approach that kind of makes everything seem a little siloed,
mm-hmm.
whereas chapters should theoretically build on each other.
Mm-hmm. And I think what I like about Chapter... I believe that James Gunn probably does have an idea of what he wants to do, even past all of what we're about to dive into. But that just saying Chapter One is like, okay, like there is more to this. Like it isn't just here we go. But in the Chapter One of Gods and Monsters, we have Creature Commandos, we have Waller, we have Superman Legacy, Lanterns, The Authority, Paradise Lost, Batman the Brave and the Bold, Booster Gold, Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow, and Swamp Thing. And on the other side, we have DC Elseworlds, which will house the Batman, Joker, with both of their sequels, Teen Titans Go, and Superman and Lois, the TV show. So,
thoughts on it? There's a lot there.
There is an awful lot in there. Not awful bad, but just a lot of material. And a lot... Never would have thought Swamp Thing would have been coming back. The Authority, Paradise Lost, Creature Commandos, those are like DC, like off, kind of like offshoots, which I'm also a little, I don't want to say like shocked, especially coming from James Gunn. Like, definitely he's the one who's going to like, let's push some of these like outside world characters. I think the benefit of using those is like, you can do, the Authority can be like more darker, like gritty DC universe, like violence, whereas, but you can use like B tier characters and not have to worry about like, okay, we got to cast this guy. But out of everything in this list, what are you excited for? Which ones popped out the most to you? Your thoughts?
Honestly, I'm not too familiar with the DC Universe, as I've said before. I think it's kind of interesting to me that like Superman and Lois is going to be a CW show.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham Knights is going to be a CW show. Peacemaker season 2 when that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Are I don't know if I'm excited for Swamp Thing.
Well, Swamp Thing is definitely... Swamp Thing's like a mystical character, so I think that's where he's going to try and go into something like the mysticism, as opposed to once again being like, okay, we're not going to do Dr. Fate because they just did that in Black Adam, which not Pierce Brosnan's fault. That movie was underutilized. Zatanna is such a big character that once again, probably like it's easier to do Swamp Thing, and you can get anyone to be Swamp Thing. You don't have to worry about that. It's more the creature. Interesting. Booster Gold, I'm actually really excited about. Booster Gold's a cool character, and I kind of hope they use that to also kind of like see, because James Gunn has said during all this, like, he's the door still open for Gal Gadot, Ezra Miller, Jason Momoa to come back and reprise their roles, though the foot has been said, like, Henry Cavill is not coming back.
Yeah.
So if they do then come back, then I'm kind of thinking maybe like Booster Gold will be used to be like, oh, why is everything so different? And he's meddling with the timeline, and that's why things have changed, not just the Flash movie. So
Booster Gold's like a well-known character.
Yeah. So the premise of Booster Gold is that he is from like the 35th century, and he goes back in time using future tech and brings back future tech that, which in that time is just trivial, like it's nothing. But then he comes back to try and be a superhero in our time because he knows all the stories, and like he like shows up at events to be like, oh, I can like pop in now and help Superman and like get my notoriety. But he's like not a great superhero because he's just like, he was a security guard at a museum for superhero like equipment in the future. Okay. So like, that's like, he's just a dude who just happens to have like really good, like great tech that allows him to take a beating and
bounce back.
Exactly. So, but then a cool thing about Booster Gold is that then later on as his story like grows, like he lives up to the idea of being a goofball, and that's what is allows him to then be in different places in time, because no one thinks like, oh, who cares, Booster Gold's here, he's an idiot. But in reality, he's like, I'm actually like working a side plot and I'm making sure everything goes the way it's supposed to go.
Yep.
So Booster Gold's I honestly like Booster Gold, and ties into Blue Beetle, him and Cord, who's the original Blue Beetle, and so that's nice. Batman the Brave and the Bold, he stated that Robin will be a part of it. Very nice to have Robin back in the films. But yeah, it'll be a new Superman.
Superman Legacy.
And I think James Gunn's actual quote was, the premise of the movie is that, how does Superman live in a world that thinks kindness is outdated? And it's like, which honestly, it's like, that kind of is what Superman is supposed to be about. So like, I like just hearing that alone.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot here. They've announced a lot here.
Oh, there is tons. I'll say it's just very nice to actually see this roadmap. Yep. And I think actually the fact that there are so many things in this that we weren't really expecting, that gives me a little bit more reassurance, as opposed to, remember in 2012 when DC was like, okay, we're going to have Justice League Part 1, the Batman movie, the Flash movie, Justice League Part 2, Wonder Woman 2, Man of Steel 2, Cyborg, Green Lantern, Aquaman. Like, they listed all these things. About 95% of that never happened. Whereas this is so many different. We have series, we have movies, we have some animated stuff that they're going to work on. So it's so far eclectic, and because it's so many drastically different things, that gives me more hope, whereas opposed to when they did their original slate, it's like, okay, these all like have to build on each other, whereas we have the Elseworlds now, where that can be so many different things, and yeah, so it's very interesting.
Do you think the Elseworlds, that's going to be their multiverse?
No. So actually another quote from James Gunn was saying that the purpose of Elseworlds is that like, if a director comes with a very distinct vision on a story, they can then go and do that. Whereas everything in the Chapter 1 Gods and Monsters is going to kind of like toe the same line of tone and direction. So the Elseworlds isn't meant to be their... Like, they could if they really wanted to, yeah. If they ever, though, I don't think they have any intention of doing a multiversal type stuff right now, because once again, now they're rebuilding. They're like, there's no point to be like, hey, let's see this really cool other version of the Batman.
Yeah.
But eventually, they very easily could, if in 5 years they do a multiversal type movie, Robert Pattinson could show up as his Batman. Like, that's not outlandish, but right now, their Elseworlds is for like, hey, if a director has a really specific idea and something really interesting, we're going to let them do that in the Elseworlds, and everything else is going to be very kind of, for a lack of better words, paint by numbers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
what are you, I'm like intrigued by the idea of the show Waller, mm-hmm. Viola Davis.
Yep.
Just from the idea that I feel like it's something the Marvel movies have kind of dabbled in recently, which is just like a character that holds a lot of weight and power. Mm-hmm. But not technically a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intrigued about that.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued about the idea of like the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Creature Commando sounds actually pretty cool. Just reading a little blurb about it.
Yeah. It's a very eclectic group.
What do you think is going to be like the, if there is one off this list right now, standout film or standout project that comes to mind immediately?
I'm torn between like Lanterns and Superman Legacy. Legacy, it'll be that one. I think will probably have the toughest time of getting people behind it, because so many people are very attached to Henry Cavill. Like, regardless if it was still Snyder Cavill, I would have loved to have him back. Once again, we've already said this, but like, I get why James Gunn is like, we kind of have to distance. Like, we just got to get away from him. And not, I don't think it is him personally. I think once again, it's like, we got to just put, he's so tied to the Snyderverse. Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, they've all kind of done their own things. And it actually, when you think about it, especially in the Justice League cut, like, they're all on their own. Like, Superman isn't a part of that movie. They fight him briefly, and then he shows up at the very end, saves the day, and that's it. So yep. They have, like, no connection. So, like, that's what... But I think, yeah, it's like, if you have Cavill, then everyone's gonna be like, it's Snyderverse. And once, and then people who don't listen to podcasts, like the Shane and Scuba Steve show, which you can subscribe and like on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, who don't, like, listen and read up on all the things, they're just gonna see Henry Cavill Superman and think, oh, I didn't like Man of Steel, I didn't like Batman v Superman, I'm not gonna go see this new Superman movie.
Yep.
So, and once again, and you gotta think, you know, he doesn't wear a mask, unlike Batman. It's like, you could, yeah, if no one liked BVS, but you put Ben Affleck again, no one might even think about it, because they're like, oh, it's Batman, like, there's something, I don't have to think it's him.
True.
Yeah. Whereas Wonder Woman did well, 84 wasn't really liked well, but yeah. Did well. And then Aquaman was a crazy surprise hit, which was good, but I definitely, Amber Heard. But yeah, probably Superman Legacy, I'm very interested, because that'll be, I think, the toughest thing to sell to everybody. Get yep. behind, and also it's a very difficult character to create a story for, because what the challenge has to be external or in it has to be an internal conflict, yeah, or at least external forces, but that's not just being punched, because then he's like, okay, it's he either fights, yeah, it's like he either fights Darkseid or Doomsday. It's like and then Green Lantern, and then Lanterns, because that has been a character that's been pushed aside since Ryan Reynolds movie, and it's a very interesting world. That's the cosmic side of the DC universe. You can do so much, because the character can literally do anything.
Yep.
And depending on what they do with this series, because it's going to be a series, not a movie, maybe they're going to show us, like, all the main Green Lanterns, like all the main four that we all know of, or they'll do, like, different years, or just do, like, an anthology where every episode's a different lantern from a different sector. But I think that one's, like, the most interesting, because they could do so much with that.
I mean, modeling it after something like True Detective really does play into that anthology feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because one of my favorite Green Lantern stories is Emerald Knights, which is like a little animated thing that literally is just Hal Jordan telling multiple stories about different lanterns to a new recruit. And that's like the coolest thing, because you get to see like how they all act differently, because it's different cultures and different aliens. They're not all just like, I'm Hal Jordan, I'm going to make a sword. No, I'm going to make a giant rocket or something way more intricate than a sword. But yeah, I think Lanterns, I'm probably like the most like, ooh, like that could be great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey, look, this slate for Chapter 1 looks fantastic.
Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters.
Chapter on Gods and Monsters. I wish they had a name for Chapter 2.
Nah, that's too soon. Too soon to give us the Chapter 2 title.
Too soon to even tease a Chapter 2 title?
No.
Too soon for a morsel of Chapter 2?
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a Chapter 2 today. No, because you give us the Chapter 2 title, then we're all going to be like, well, then what's in it? What's in Chapter 2? And actually, like, I think we have some dates for some of the stuff, but, like, the dates go to, like, 2025, like, 2026. So, like, that's already 3 years. So anything in Chapter 2 would be, like, in 2028. It's, like, that's so far off from now. Like, well,
that was, like, with the Marvel phases.
True, but I feel they earned enough by the time that they're showing us stuff. When we got the Phase 2, Phase 1 had already locked us in. They were like, oh, cool. I'm, like, so excited to look that far in advance. Whereas true. DC and Warner Brothers now are like, they have to rebuild the faith. Like, they have to make sure that, like, we want to keep, because they've seen the numbers. We certainly have seen the movies. They haven't been living up to what they can, because these are great characters and these are rich narratives and stories that you can expand upon and you can get a lot out of. And Justice League should have made over $1 billion, but it didn't. The Justice yeah. League, like, yeah. So,
but do you think the Justice League not succeeding was a DCU crisis, or just a crisis of the creative direction of the movie? Where can you attribute that blame?
I think I'll put a lot of blame on the studio, and even actually James Gunn today. Once again, I got another quote from like an interview with him today, being like, the former heads like had no idea, like they were just handing out IPs to like whoever came, was like, I got an idea, cool, that's great. Whereas they shouldn't, like they should have had him far more locked in, and they put other chips on Zack Snyder, and then they didn't like what Zack Snyder was doing, / they didn't like how the public was reacting to the stuff, and then they tried to change it. But you can't make them, you can't have someone make a movie and be like, okay, we're going to edit it. It's like, no, that's not how it works. So that definitely I put all on the studio. And then the other movies, I'll kind of maybe split a little 50-50, but definitely still the studio, because they're the ones that are like, yeah, we like this. And it's like, yeah, yep. But we have three Batman, and we have two different Suicide Squads, and we have Aquaman, and we got Flash, and oh, and Batmite exists. Like, okay, I guess Batmite lives there. Like, that's even James Gunn being like, I put Batmite in, and they're like, yeah, that's great. It's like, you're allowing me to put Batmite in, like, my thing? Like, mention that? You want to acknowledge that there's a fifth dimensional imp that looks like Batman? Like, you're allowing me to do that. Okay, cool. And that's probably then when he got sat down for this interview, he was probably like, yeah, the people who gave me that gig were idiots. They let me put Batmite in. It's like, yeah, I don't even know what Batmite is. It's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just didn't know what I was getting at.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, and us, the audience, and especially people who read the comics all the time, it's like, oh, Batmite, yeah, great. But at the same time, it was like, did they just really acknowledge? Okay. Yeah. So, you first.
I know, I'm like thinking, like, there's so many other things that the DCU has. All these things, right? Marvel, DCU, they could all get to chapter phase 12 with all the things that are out there.
And yeah.
I do find it interesting, right? It's going to seem like Elseworlds are going to go in that more like auteur, director, like the Joker movies, like have fun with the characters, like think deeper about the characters, whereas the multiverse and the MCU is so sandboxed. It's going to be an interesting dichotomy switch.
Yeah.
For these two superhero collections to kind of go forward with.
Absolutely.
They also canceled Pennyworth, the origin of Batman's butler.
Oh no.
If you hadn't watched that on Epix in 2019 or more recently on HBO Max.
Yeah, oh man. I can't believe I wasn't watching the, yeah, that's another story. I had zero interest in a Pennyworth show.
Did you? No interest whatsoever.
I had no interest for a multiple seasons of a Pennyworth show. Had they just done a one season, similar to now what Marvel's doing, like the presentations, like just here's one season, 7 episodes. Here's what Alfred was doing. That's how he met Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne. And this is why they have a bond. And thus why he then went to go work with them. Cool. The fact that it was 3 seasons, spies, technically an alternate even world because V for Vendetta was then like going on within the show. Like, yeah, no. It's the same as when Sony was like, what if we make an Aunt May movie when she's like a spy? Or now they're doing
Madam Web.
Yeah, Madam Web, which I read an interview with Dakota Johnson, who is in it. And they're like, what was it like working on it? It's like, it's just so crazy working for such like a big project that has like, you know, that has so many things going on. Like, they can't tell us everything. I'm like, so it was a bad script? Okay, that's what you're saying. The script didn't make any sense. Got it. Understood. Got it.
The script is being rewritten constantly.
Okay. So like they don't know what this is all going to, how this ties in. I think, got it. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just excited that this is now like, cool. We have an idea of where things are going to go. I also did see a tweet today, a game developer, because James Gunn said he wants like the movies, the animated shows, and the games to all be like within the same narrative.
Wow.
And he was like, I'd like the actors of these characters to also voice them in the video games. And some game developer was like, that's the stupidest thing you could do. Like, you think Robert Pattinson's going to come in and sit there for 10 hours, give me the same line 200 times, and then I pick, like, and I'm like, no, that does make sense, but it's a good idea, but yeah, definitely will not work out in the long run because you also have to think of just scheduling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some games have like 30 hours of audio.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Lines and lines and lines of dialogue for the game itself. And then also then when you're like just walking around.
Like, we'll slip a little bit there.
Yeah. Yeah. So totally understandable to have that developer be like, yeah, no, that's never going to happen.
With the power of AI, Shane, you never know.
True, but at the same time, I do like it, though, when the games are not connected to the movies and the other narratives and forcing you into, like, the pigeonhole where it's like, okay, now every game is going to be following the Batman with Robert Pattinson. Any last things you want to say about this DC slate, Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters?
I'm intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chapter 1 has a lot to live up to.
Yep.
So I'm hopeful that they're able to execute as highly as they think they can.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the chapter 1 and 2 are going to take 8 to 10 years to tell.
We only know about chapter 1 right now. We don't know about chapter 2.
Well, chapter one's gonna take 4 to 5 years to develop. Yeah. So it's a lot riding on this IP and two very well proven folks, but with a lot with their work cut out for them, really, because there's a ton of buildup here.
Oh yeah, for sure.
For sheezy.
Yeah. Well, hey, don't worry. We got Shazam Fury of the Gods coming out in 2 weeks. So, hey. Here's the thing, I like the first Shazam.
Okay. Will you go see this in theaters?
Probably not.
Same.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to think of... It's very unlikely that I will see this in theaters.
Okay.
I don't know. If someone could record the movie while wearing a hoodie and holding their phone at a very low angle for a movie, I'll watch that version.
No, don't give it that.
Yeah. But don't download a car. That's for sure. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this Sunday, the third episode of a TV show that we've been watching has come out.
Yes. What's the show?
The Last of Us on HBO Max.
Oh, I thought it was The Great British Bake Off.
No, but we do love The Great British Bake Off.
That is true.
But the third episode has come out?
Yes. Long, long time.
Long, long time.
Yeah.
Very good show.
Very good. This is the first episode that really diverges from the game. So the episode opens with we pick up with Joel and Ellie right after the finale of last week, where Tess has now sacrificed herself so they could get away. Joel is trying to deal with the loss, how he does, which is pushing those feelings down. And Ellie clearly sees that. It's like, hey, well, let's just move past this then. And I even like when he's like, don't apologize. And she's like, I'm not. And they move on. We have them walking down the city. We get a clear idea of what happened, how it all fell apart. That the cordyceps had gotten into like flour or rice and grain, and then people had eaten it.
Yep.
Which I don't know if you had seen. I had seen some videos that were like throughout the entire first episode, Joel and his daughter Sarah like don't eat anything with like flour or grain in it. Like they don't have pancakes. They don't have cake at the end of the day. The neighbor's like, hey, you want to have like a little thing? Oh, I'm on Atkins. She doesn't have any of the cookies because they're oatmeal. They're not chocolate chips, so she's not interested. We learn how that's how it breaks out. We see a plane that's crashed on the side of a hill. And then we see the remains of a pit of bodies. And we learn that at a certain point during the beginning, they didn't have space for people, so they just got rid of them. And Joel says, because it's...
murdered them.
Yeah, what was... I'm trying to think of how he exactly phrased it. Dead people can't get infected. Yeah. Yep. Which, you know what? Within the crisis of that world... justifiable, not like, of course, today where we sit now, we don't agree with that, but like, yeah, God, I get where those people are coming from. But then, yeah, no, I know, I'm not saying I'm
given the killer fungal thing.
Yeah, I know, like, I'm not saying, but like, it's not like if today, like, oh, we're at a chicken strips at the restaurant and I killed everyone. Like, no, I'm not agreeing with that. But
I'm zombie, the Larry David gif.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. We're not going to argue this. But then we get into the meat of the episode, which is all a flashback following. We first meet up with Bill, played by Nick Offerman, who is a survivalist who has made a bunker, who is prepped for an apocalypse. And we see him living in Lincoln, Massachusetts. Once everyone's out of the town, he just takes over. He just drives around, goes to Home Depot, gets all the stuff he needs.
He turns the gas back on.
Yep, turns the gas on.
I'm going to jump in, and I don't mean to jump in and jump on your toes. But I think what we've seen take over the internet since this is a cutscene, a description text pop-up describing the scene 10 miles from Boston as idyllic mountains.
Yeah, I heard and saw people being frustrated about that, yeah.
He does go to a Cumbie's. He goes to Cumberland Farms, which we do have in the area of 10 miles outside Boston.
I honestly went... I was saying, when they said that, I was like, Cumberland? Oh, okay.
But then he goes to a New Bedford gas plant to turn the gas back on.
Mm-hmm.
New Bedford's nowhere near 10 miles west of Boston.
Yep.
In the town of Lincoln, where he is.
But hold on. It was 10 miles west where Joel and Ellie were when we first see them at the beginning. That's not saying the gas plant... was also 10 miles west of Boston.
So he drove all the way to the gas plant. he got to go that far. See, because this is the thing, Bill, and you were about to jump into it. Bill kind of realized that everyone's been evacuated and gets super excited because he was a survivalist, not a prepper. And he starts building his fortifications, as you were saying.
Yep.
But how far could he, like, people just left. It's not like this is like, people just left. Like, I feel like there are going to be more stragglers, and I feel like you don't see the early looting and stuff until Joel warns them.
True, but I think the difference, and once again, we're only seeing certain segments. We're not seeing the big picture. I think within that idea is that quickly, even though everything kind of fell apart after a couple of days, I think quickly people tried to regroup and like organize. So I think everyone then went into the QZs like right away.
Yep.
And then over time, that's when people started to branch out. And then the Raiders started after like things kind of settled, because then by that point, people were like, oh, things aren't going to go back to normal. Like, this isn't something that we can, like, it's not like, okay, everyone go get a flu shot, we'll be good tomorrow. I think over time, that's, but like up front, like, nope, everyone got out of the town, everyone took QZs, and he's like, no one's here, I'm gonna take. And then by the time things start to kind of fall apart, Raiders be everywhere, he was already set up in his place where it's like, this is me now, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, just that's where I went with, but I totally understand. Yeah, like where everyone's gone, like he hasn't really driven through. But we kind of then actually get a little kind of hint of that, because then when Frank arrives, he fell into a hole that Bill had set up.
He just leaves a hole.
And I think it's funnier too. It's like, is that the only? Does he only have the one? Like, we never really see any other holes that get filled. But when he gets Frank out of the hole, he tests him. He uses the thing to check to see if he's infected. And he's like, how did you get that? And he never mentions it. So Bill very easily could have had to deal with Raiders prior to that, or other people, or Fedra. Or maybe he even went on like a raid, just like, I got to get some stuff. But we have Frank, who's played by Murray Bartlett, who recently got his notoriety coming out of White Lotus. You love White Lotus.
White Lotus is fantastic.
You're always going on and on about it.
Have you watched White Lotus yet?
No, but I've seen a screensaver of ocean waves crashing on a beach. So I feel like, what's the difference?
You've seen like a third of the show, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You should watch it.
Does it have Pedro Pascal in it?
Not yet, but it could.
Okay. When Pedro Pascal shows up on the show, then I'll watch all of it to get caught up to Pedro Pascal.
All right.
But Frank is invited in. He has a lovely rabbit dinner, and he sees that Bill has not been living well. There's dust everywhere. He is clearly, yes, a survivalist. And then he plays a song so badly that Bill's like, I have to play this song. And he plays it beautifully. The lovely Nick Offerman has a great voice, a great musically talented gentleman. And that's when we have a lovely romantic scene. And this is awesome. I did not expect this episode to be so much about their relationship.
It's heartwarming. It's heartwarming.
Oh, absolutely. And I kept expecting it to like catch up to the present. And we now like have Joel and Ellie with Bill and Frank. But just getting to see so much of their life together was fantastic. It's beautiful to see how I'm gonna stick around for a couple of days, okay, and then jump to 3 years. Go fuck yourself.
That was great.
Yep.
And I thought that was like, so that whole shift scene where it was like, I want to make the town look nicer, we have friends, the whole like, I've been talking to people on the radio.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it's showing like these two different people. Like, Bill's set in his ways of like, no, we gotta just, if we're by ourselves, nothing can happen. Meanwhile, Frank's like, yeah, but we can't live like this. This isn't living, just being in a hole. We gotta take care. We have to show that we love the things around us.
Yeah.
And I did just like, I like Frank's like, yeah, I'm gonna mow the lawn and I'm gonna paint some of the houses, and the liquor store and the furniture store and the boutique. But I'm just gonna do that. But then we have a great little garden party with Tess and Joel the first time they get to meet Bill and Frank. I love that entire thing. Both Joel and Bill the entire time are just ready for anything to happen. Meanwhile, Tess and Frank are just like, there's some more wine? You want to go inside? No, this is great.
Look around. Hang out. Do you guys want strawberry seeds?
Exactly. Oh, those strawberries, they look very good. Yeah. Oh, they were really good strawberries. And as well, this episode did such a good job of those tiny little time jumps, which are actually big chunks of time, but they felt very natural and they got us caught up quickly. Like we go from that first garden party to the next, like they're jogging, but now Bill's a couple steps behind. You can see that their ages are catching up on them. Then having them get raided by just random people and seeing how prepared Bill is. I'll tell you guys want to come at my fence. Yeah, I got flamethrowers and electric fence. And I'm just gonna shoot you through the rain through my fence from really far away. Yeah, no, you guys are good. Yeah. Come, yeah. Which honestly I had expected because Bill gets shot and then it kind of fades to black as he drifts off, which also really liked that scene of him just like call Joel, get Joel, he'll be able to take care of everything, which just once again shows how much he's grown since the last time we saw the two people interact.
Yeah.
Which then I thought was leading up to them arriving and maybe doing a switch, because in the game, Bill is alive, Frank has died. They had actually broken up, Frank fled, got bit, and then kills himself because he doesn't want to become turned into an infected.
Yep.
And I was expecting, oh, we're going to get this shift, and now Frank's alive and Bill's gone, and we're going to see how Joel and Ellie react to that. And then, nope, we just do another 10-year time jump, and now they're both very elderly men. And Frank has lost mobility in his legs and his hands. And it's crazy to see their home and what they've developed during this apocalypse. And even then, like, kind of when Ellie and Joel show up later, they both are kind of like, it's just so different from everything they're used to.
Yep.
But then Frank decides he doesn't want to keep doing this. He's tired. He knows they're both old and he wants to end his life. And he wants to have one beautiful last day where they have a breakfast. They go to the store, get dressed up. They get married, have a lovely dinner. And then he pulls out a baggie of a lot of pills. And is like, I want you to crush these up, put it in my wine. I'm going to drink it. And then we're going to go to bed. And I'm going to fall asleep in your arms. And it's a very just lovely scene. And it's
overall so heartwarming of an episode of a zombie or a disaster TV show. We don't even call it zombies.
Mm-hmm. And then, we see, I will say I kind of laugh because you see Bill come out with a new bottle of wine, the two glasses. He pours the glass for Frank and himself. And then you see him take the baggie out and you see him pour them into the glass, but you cannot see the liquid during this frame. And then he starts to stir, and when it cuts to the other side of the shot, it's a perfectly clean, like, glass of red wine. I'm like, the amount of pill powder he put in that, it would
not even a little cloudy, not even a little milky.
And also, it's like, oh, he didn't get any of, like, the glass. He got it all in the liquid. I'm like, yeah, not like, there'd be a difference, but I accept that. Frank, I also liked, he's like, will this be enough? And he's like, yeah. It'll be enough. Frank drinks his glass. Bill drinks his. And then that's when he says, oh, no, I put it in the bottle, too. Like, enough to kill a horse.
Yeah.
It's just a very beautiful. And he tells him, he's like, this isn't the suicide at the end of the story, which isn't a line or a hint referencing Romeo and Juliet, but rather the boys in the band, which is actually a play about members of a little band of men who were together and they kill themselves at the end. They go off the bed and then we see Joel and Ellie show up about a week or two later and the house is now starting to fall apart. There's dust.
Which is kind of crazy. It's a week or two later and it's all already they're already old.
Yeah. But... Hey, it piles up, man. Of course.
Yeah.
It does. And you also have to think they left everything out. Like they didn't, like he didn't clean, like prep and like, okay, I'm going to tidy the place up, then drift off. And then he leaves a note for Joel saying, everything's yours, take what you want. And sadly, he mentions Tess.
I mean, honestly, they could have just camped out in their house, just gotten rid of the bodies.
Yes, but it was nice that they don't actually see the body because it also makes sense because the window in that room's open, which is creating like pressure.
Yep.
And the reason Joel couldn't get that door open is because at the same time that pressure differential closes the front door, which then makes him go, what's going on? And the director, when they're at the end of the episode, they pull back and you're in that room. They could have easily shown the bodies. But I think the whole point is that leave it in that very positive note. They ended their lives how they wanted.
Yeah.
Happy. He makes a battery. The decision is they're going to go to Wyoming. They're going to try and find, Joel's brother Tommy. Maybe hopefully find something along the way. Ellie is in a car for the first time.
She has that entire moment seeing a crashed airplane, not realizing people like, or realizing that she'd only heard about the idea of people taking planes to go places.
Yeah. Though I will say, she doesn't know what a seatbelt is. Understandable. But she knew cassette and how to put it in the car immediately. I'll accept you know what a cassette is, but the fact that she was like, oh, I'm going to just put that right there in that car. That's the cassette player here for the car. That one is the, I was like,
that's how that works.
But actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, it was 2003 when it happened. See how CDs weren't crazy popular. I don't think they were definitely on the rise, but cassettes were still probably readily available. So it's probably, there is more likely that there are still cassette players around. You know what? I take that back, everybody.
Cassette, I mean, but she's not, like, she's.
Yeah, but people take.
Born during the. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I take back what I said. No, because also cassettes are much easier to, like, maintain. Like, a CD, that's going to break. You get a scratch on it, you're done. The cassette, the actual tape comes undone. You can put it back. You can take a pencil. You just roll it back in there. They're sturdier. You can drop that. So probably, you know, it makes more sense that probably cassette players and, like, radios, people playing those would still be around, and that Ellie could probably have seen that. So I take back what I said about her. But I did like Joel going, oh, keep this on. This is Linda Ronstadt. You know Linda Ronstadt? No, I don't know Linda Ronstadt. It's like, all right. But yeah.
Great episode. Like, simply fantastic television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Across the board.
And also a great representation of how you adapt something from a story and expand upon it that doesn't take away from the original story as well.
Yeah.
Like, we get to see more of Bill. We actually get to know who Frank is, which you don't get to see in the game. But it's not like we're taking away, because really all that happens in that part of the game is that you meet Bill. You go and try and get a car fixed, and you, like, kind of learn some stuff, but nothing that's so crucial. Like, oh my God, we have to have Bill tell Joel that he's actually Ellie's brother. Like, no, but we got that chance to learn more about them and just see that. So, yeah, really good episode. Honestly, I think my biggest thing that, like, I hate about this is, like, we don't now get to see more Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett in the show. Like,
no, I was hoping that they were going to adapt the story differently to have Nick Offerman hang out longer, but
not even hang out, but, like, the ability to go back or, like, call one, even though it doesn't make any sense because they're going across the country, like, just knowing, like, oh, maybe they should open season two, like, but for what we got, it was great.
Yeah.
What do you want to give episode three, long time of The Last of Us?
Man, I want to give it like a 950 out of 1,000 bottles of Beaujolais, the wine they drank with the rabbit.
Yep.
Which is crazy that there are two very well talented wine drinkers that end up together in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it 943 out of 1,000. What, you think a traveling MRI is gonna come by? When he's like, maybe a doctor could see what's going on. It's like, what are you talking about?
It's like Greg Gallo's humor.
It's like, they didn't know what's... Yeah. So I think maybe would have liked a little... I think what I wish was that we got Joel, Ellie, Frank, and Bill all together for, like, a scene. I honestly kept expecting, like, during the dinner, like, right when... I thought, like, when Frank drinks it, that's when, like, there's going to be a knock on the door. And it'll be Joel and Ellie be like, hey, what's going on? It's like, we're in the middle of something. Like, I thought
something,
like,
very important is happening right now,
or that Bill didn't spike, like, before he actually said, like, he didn't spike it and then he wakes up the next day, or maybe he didn't spike it enough and he lived and Frank, like, died, something like that. Just solid episode.
Yeah, fantastic. I think Ellie had great like, character development in episode two. At the scene at Cumbie's, she sneaks into that basement space and stabs an infected, or like a severely infected.
Yeah.
After cutting them and seeing all of the tendrils pour out.
Actually, what I like is knowing where the games go and the narrative. Like, I wonder where people who haven't played the games haven't no idea what they thought. They're probably more concerned, like, seeing that, like, oh my God, like, is Ellie going to be the bad guy in this? Whereas it's like, no, that was like her really just like, because Joel even says like in the last episode, because she asks like, is it tough to kill them? Like knowing their people. And he's like, sometimes, but like, you just got to work through it.
Yep.
And that's, I took that as more of her being like, okay, like this is my chance. Like, okay, check this thing out now while I have, while I can. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's the last of us, episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. Like, yeah. I can't, like, I'm not a horror TV show person, but I can't get enough of this TV show already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really good. Very already got greenlit for that second season.
Which, hey, who knows what it could be? Because I don't think they're going to jump right into the second season of the TV or the second game.
I mean, they could, because there are flashbacks in the second game that take place between 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So they easily could like adapt some of that. But yeah, I think I even saw like an interview like with the show director, Craig Mazin. He was like, you know, part 2 could be like multiple seasons. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, because one, you do want to age up, have Ellie age up, because that's like a good, that's an interesting thing that changes their dynamic within the game and then the story, and have her be the more lead. But it's like, yeah, oh, person who makes shows wants the ability to make more shows. Yeah, yeah, you're going to stretch that out.
Shock.
So, and who knows? This first season might not even end on the first game. They could very easily, like,
just keep it going.
Or cut it, like, at the 2/3 mark. And then, yeah, like, the next season picks up there and continues it. But, yeah. So we'll see.
We will see.
Actually, the last episode of this season will be the end of part 2. They're just going to make a huge jump.
Just to then work their way back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got it. Well, a couple tidbits before we head out for the night.
Mm-hmm.
There's a King of the Hill revival happening at at Hulu.
Yep.
So more news on that soon. I don't know. King of the Hill was one of those pandemic lunchtime TV shows that I watched. This is like peak 2020, like sitting on my couch from like 12 to 1.
Yeah.
Trying to like get something done that wasn't work. I watched King of the Hill for a while. The King of the Hill, Seinfeld, there were a few of them. And on another note, the latest Black Panther is now on Disney Plus streaming with the option to watch it with the IMAX features. So if you want to watch Wakanda Forever, it is on Disney Plus.
Are we getting paid by Disney to say this?
No.
Ah, damn. All right. I just wanted to check.
These things happen. These things happen.
Yeah, I just wanted to check. Do you think if we say it enough, they will pay us?
Doubtful. The House of Mouse is not known for that.
Do you think if we slander them enough, they'll pay us to stop?
I think they will sue us out of house and home.
I don't have a house.
Yeah. I wish I had more for you.
Okay. All right. I'll look into it.
These things happen.
No.
But Shane, do you want to tell people where they can find us?
You can find us in a boatload of places. On Instagram, at Shane and Scuba Steve Show. Online, www.theshaneandscubastevshow.com. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on probably Google Play. You can probably find us on YouTube. Maybe, don't quote me. You could, but don't quote me. You could find all of our episodes on Venmo. You send me and Steven. You pick a number. Maybe they'll show up. Maybe they won't. I'm not guaranteeing anything. That is why I'm saying the word maybe. But if you send that money, maybe.
Potentially.
Allegedly. Maybe's not no. Maybe's not no, everybody. You could be the one we send the money to. Oh, you, the listener right now, you could be the one we send the money to.
So I wasn't prepared for that part of the show, but
I'm just saying. Yeah. So, you know, you send us some money and see what happens.
You never know.
I don't like to mention this, but I am a prince and I'm struggling right now. My father, the king, has passed away and I don't have any money. So if you could give me some of the money right now so I could fix things right now, I could get you the money back soon.
Are your funds tied up in foreign accounts?
They are tied up because, like I said, my father, the king, just passed away. So, like, we're trying to shift, you know, to give me the money. But, you know, hey, legal red tape. I'm not blaming anybody. I totally understand. But if you could help us out right now, we could appreciate it.
Those things take time.
No, absolutely. But I promise you, I will pay you back twice as much as you give me.
Sounds legit.
It's too legit.
Allegedly. All right. That's our show, folks. Good night.
Later.